coast to coast and border to border. It's Tailgate Radio. Hey there, Tailgate Nation. Thank you so much for downloading episode number 130 of our virtual tailgate party as we blast the show to all 50 states, all provinces in Canada, and over 50 countries across this big blue marble we call Earth. I am the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. We had a great time in Las Vegas. But one of the things I missed while I was in Las Vegas is, as you've heard over the last five episodes or so, we were out there for the sports licensing and tailgate show. But one of the things I missed when I was out there was having fresh home-cooked meals. Vegas is a great place for food, don't get me wrong. There's some amazing restaurants out there. But, you know, incredible home cooking that I'm used to when I'm at home, out on the ranch, was hard to come by. Not so much at home with Blue Apron. You know, Blue Apron has been doing this for a while now, and Blue Apron is an incredible service. I love it. My family loves it. It's never been more easy to attain incredible home cooking thanks to Blue Apron. You know, for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers easy to follow seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. No more overspending at restaurants, which I had a tendency to do while I was out in Las Vegas. And no going to the high-end grocery stores to get all the exotic ingredients. Blue Apron packages it for you. Not only do they package it for you, they pre-package the right amount so you're not overspending. You know, some of the ingredients that I'm not familiar with, I don't know how much to buy. Blue Apron eliminates all of that. Not to mention, you know, Blue Apron does great things for the community. They've partnered with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. to ensure that all their ingredients are of the highest quality. And because Blue Apron ships exactly the right amount, like I was telling you earlier, there's no waste. You know, and I've got kids, I've got a wife. You know, I'm very conscientious about wasting food and making sure that everything that we prepare, we consume. It's just the responsible thing to do. And on top of everything else, Blue Apron meals are delicious. They're quality food that you can find right at your door. Like I was saying, it's amazing product. And some of the meals that have been delivered and they're available right now to you when you order Blue Apron include pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips, spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. Folks, you got to check it out. Members of the Tailgate Nation, this is something that you should be jumping all over. And because we've partnered with Blue Apron, you can do that now. You know, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/tailgate. That's blueapron.com/tailgate. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/tailgate. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And I'm telling you, folks, you do not want to miss that opportunity. Blue Apron's been a great partner of ours here at Tailgate Radio. And, you know, we spend so much time talking about cooking and creating great recipes and things out in the parking lot. Why would you want to scrimp at home and have it delivered right to your front door? So love the folks over at Blue Apron. They are awesome. And so are you, the Tailgate Nation. We really do appreciate your continued listenership. And we've got a whole lot going on here. You know, football season is man, it seems like a distant memory already. April's right around the corner. And it's been really interesting in my neck of the woods because we haven't had a winter. As I'm recording this, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops. It's summer. You know, one of the guys that works with us here at Game Day Media is in New Hampshire. We have folks all over the country that help out with the production and the social media and all that. And he's up in New Hampshire, and he is buried under snow. Had some relatives in from Colorado. They're wondering if they can get back home because they're buried under snow. not buried under snow here. And it's not bragging. We have, I wish we had a little bit of winter. It's just so cold. So many places across the country, and here we are, 91 degrees on this beautiful Thursday in March. So anyway, I want to remind you folks, you can check us out over at our website at Tailgate Radio. Still trying to work the kinks out of a new website. That's frustrating. It's frustrating for me because I'm not a website guy, and I just want my content out there so that you guys can check it out and have access to it 24/7, 365. But I want it to look right. I want it to look good. I want it to be representative of what we're doing here at Tailgate Radio. So we're working on getting that just right before we unleash the new website. And speaking of new, Tailgate Radio is, as you know, is part of Game Day Media. And we launched a new show this week that I'm really proud of. I'm really excited for her. The show is Medusa's Full Throttle Podcast. And Deborah Michelli, better known as Medusa, she's like the Bo Jackson of female sports entertainers. She's a two-sport champ. She's a two-time world Monster Jam champion. Drove a big-ass pink truck across stadiums and arenas all over the United States for 17 years, won two world championships in that time. And also, she is a former WWE world champion and Hall of Famer in their Hall of Fame, along with the likes of such dignitaries as Pete Rose, Drew Carey, Snoop Dogg, and dare I say, the current president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. So she's in good company there with the Hall of Fame. But she's such a neat lady, and not bad on the eyes either. But very, you know, she's kicking ass at 50-something years old, 53, 52, something like that. And she was married to a player in the NFL for the Bengals years ago. So she knows sports. Grew up in Minnesota, I think. Big Vikings fan. We clash a little bit because of my Packer loyalty. But she is an amazing talent. And exciting to see her show take off and become a hit that I know it will be. Because she is she's a winner. And excited for her. Very hopeful that she'll find her voice and her comfort level as she gets into it more and more. And again, that's Medusa's Full Throttle Podcast. If you're a sports fan, if you're a gearhead, if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a military person, and her husband is an officer in the military, she just has so many stories. Oh my gosh. I lived in Japan and trained in a dojo where she was, you know, basically a servant to learn how to train in the world of martial arts. She's lived 10 lifetimes. So check it out. Medusa's Full Throttle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn app.
Hey, Carnage Nation, it's WWE Hall of Famer and your two-time Monster Jam World Champion, Medusa. M-A-D-U-S-A, made in the USA, baby, and I am about to make history again.
One of our guests in the past, speaking of the world of wrestling, Jim Ross, who has one of the top-rated podcasts in the world over at the Ross Report. He lost his wife earlier this week in a tragic vehicle accident in Norman, Oklahoma. everybody here at Tailgate Radio and Game Day Media want to express our deepest condolences to him and his family, and hope that you will keep him and the family of his wife and everybody in his circle with your thoughts and prayers, and wish him just strength and some type of comfort in this time of need. It's really hard to think about is how devastating that would be, that his wife Jan was the love of his life, and it's just a sad thing. And we wish him again our deepest condolences.
You're listening to Tailgate Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's Adam Richman from the Travel Channel, and you are feasting your ears on Tailgate Radio with the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. Remember, chew carefully and eat mightily.
Welcome back to Tailgate Radio, the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. Yes, Grill Sergeant. My guest this week would have to be the Grill Generalissimo, or the Grill Commander-in-Chief. He is the owner and inventor of the Carson Rodizio, and you're going to take a look at that. If you go to any of our social media or any of our Twitter, you're going to see photos of the Carson Rodizio. But without any further ado, let me bring in the man himself, Blake Carson. Blake, welcome into Tailgate Radio.
Thank you for having me on your show. I really do appreciate it.
Now, are you in the great city of Memphis, Tennessee tonight?
I am. I just got out of my weekly platform storytelling, so I'm jacked up on awesome, cool, inspirational things as even on Monday nights go. So you caught me at a good time. I'm on my way back to the house in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a lot of good things going on in this town.
How did somebody from Memphis end up spending so much time and become so involved in the Brazilian culture? I find that fascinating.
It's kind of out there. It all came down to soccer. It's the weirdest thing. We grew up in Memphis. My family's from the Delta of Mississippi. Zero background in soccer. it was the same growing up, and then we moved into an apartment complex when I was 4 years old. It goes back that far. It's my first memory. And there's these two kids playing soccer, and my dad, just a kid with energy, went out and ran around with them. They signed me up, didn't know anything about it, and it just kept me busy, got me to bed faster at night, being so tired. But the one thing I asked my dad, like any kid would ask their fathers at that age, is who's the greatest soccer player in the world? And the only person he ever knew that was ever associated with the sport was Pelé. So I always kind of joke and tell people that had he been from any other country, I'd probably be obsessed with his culture and what he did, because in essence, he became my Michael Jordan. He became my idol. I want to do everything he did. I want to know everything about him. There was two reference books in Farmington Elementary in Germantown, Tennessee. And that's what I read. That's the only thing I read. I did book reports every year, and finally they were like, you got to expand your horizons, read some Charlotte's Web or something, by fourth grade. And I was like, that's stupid. They got rodents down there the size of dogs and lily pads you can leap from, and just became consumed with Brazilian culture through Pelé, through soccer, and wanting to emulate his style. And then I had a chance to go down there, and originally it was all about soccer. And I trained down there professionally when I was 13 and 14. And every night we would go to a Brazilian barbecue. Everybody had it. It was a churrasco. It was not to mention bonding on the soccer field, but when you come back and you're bonding over these skewers of meat, that is just such a social tapas style. It's built for kids because kids love things to be cut up for them. And so it is, everybody's involved in it, and not even knowing at 14 that this is going to turn into a lifelong journey. Just at the time, just was so engulfed in it. I was there during the 98 World Cup, and if you've ever been anywhere outside the United States during the World Cup, you have no idea what that. I understand, don't get me wrong, I'm American, I understand football culture better than anybody else. tailgating culture is an amazing culture, and I really wish it would spread to other parts of the world. Going to a professional soccer game down in Brazil, and they just don't have that culture. But the level of passion during the World Cup is just insane. And if you're down in Brazil, 98, experiencing the Brazilian barbecue and never-ending skewers coming around the party, and just that moment was like, holy crap, I'm going to have to do this the rest of my life. And that's kind of how it, I don't know how it's going to happen. I came back trying to pitch Brazilian grilling companies at 14, and people were like, you got to get a driver's license first, or you start trying to raise money for a company. I'm like, okay, whatever. I got a job at the first Brazilian steakhouse in Denver, Colorado, as the first American gaucho, I guess to hone in on my skills. And then eventually, after every single night of going to some of these people's tables, they're saying, man, I wish I had this in my backyard. And I was like, you have it at your tailgate, you have it everywhere. It involves food and bringing people together. This is it. And that's kind of how it happened.
Well, you know, I remember when you and I first met, I think it was at the Hearth Barbecue and Patio Show in Atlanta a few years ago, and you first introduced me to an earlier version of your product, and I was blown away by how, first of all, you know, I've been to some of those Brazilian steakhouses and had the gauchos there, and you know, I found that watching what you were doing out there in this parking lot at this event was something that I had never thought that quality of cooking, of grilling, of presentation was even possible. Yeah, I had no idea. So tell me about the process, the actual cooking process that the Carson Rodizio implements that from that Brazilian culture, because it still is pretty, relatively. I know there are some large cities, but by and large, the masses aren't familiar with that form of grilling.
For sure, they know and are familiar. Most of them are familiar with the Brazilian steakhouse, but no one really actually goes back and looks at the grill and how those skewers come out like that. They don't really take it to that degree. But you brought up an awesome moment when we first met at that trade show, because that was our goal, was to feed as many people as we could there. We had a little 10 by 20, it's just a small little thing. We had these suitcases, and we were like, when you invest in marketing and things like that, they just hit you up for every little this and that, and magazines and all this stuff of investing in money. I was like, no, we're investing money in food, and we're gonna try to get at least 2 ounces of a bite in as many people as we can at that trade show. It's gonna show the amount of quantity you can pump out of premium quality, and it's just three of us, me and my chef partner and my manufacturer that were there, and we went through hundreds and hundreds of pounds of food on those suitcases, and we had lines. It just was so much fun. Just showing, we can sit here all day long and talk about, the physics of it and this and that. It's like, no, look how many people we fed, look how many people got to taste this, and how everybody can do this. It's not just because I've been doing this. It's anybody can, I guess eventually people will get tired of having to flip all that food when they can spin it and have it do its thing and slice it off and serve it up. And, so basically, the physics of it is what drives everything. I mean, rotisserie has been around since the beginning of time. It's not anything new as far as technology-wise. But the American grilling culture has been programmed to grill with a lid and grill with a grate and to be standing in front of a grill constantly and constantly manning it. And it's just been kind of ingrained. The Weber-Kingsford propaganda has been phenomenal. It's created the American, culture of grilling. It's brought people in their backyards, but it's also been very limited in that you always have to deal with a lid. And one of our taglines is to think outside the lid. Everybody asks that, how do you cook without a lid? How does it cook with people are so blown away by it. And it's amazing how I've had the same conversation with some of the most powerful executives on the planet, and the way they've been brought up and taught how to grill in this culture has been very the same. You know, it's how many grills out there are basically selling you surface area. Yeah, there's a lot of cool different, you know, the Kamado's in a great example of its new found, you know, that's been around for thousands of years in Asia. It's just now became, got its found its day in the culture because the physics of it doesn't lie. But the difference with Rodizio as opposed to every other style when it comes to charcoal or wood, excuse me, the segment HPBA defines it in as pellets, Kamado, charcoal, gas, electric. That's kind of how it's segmented. Well, there's a completely different segment, a third dimension, which is Rodizio, because you're basically trying to take that same surface area and create cubic cooking volume as opposed to square inches. So in that case, I can fit within, just as an example, our kit is 13 inches by 15 inches by 18 inches and extends to 24 inches. So however many, how much meat you can have spinning in a, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 cubic inch area, and it cooks fast, you can cook a 6-pound cut of some of the best steak of your life, 6-pound, you know, those top sirloin, and slice it off in 20 minutes, and it'll be and you'll have it at every tailgate. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I saw people, off the streets and never cooked anything for their entire life get hired on at these fine dining Brazilian steakhouses. They're feeding 500 people in a week. They're like, this is it right here. You can't tell me that this is not way of the future when it comes to barbecue.
Yeah, and I remember vividly one of the memories that sticks out in my head at that event we were at in Atlanta was just the sheer number of people that were in line waiting and the ability of the three of you guys to to feed so many people. It was unbelievable. And on top of that, and I'll just say this, because I'm sure you remember this, there was just a hellacious storm that blew in that morning. So not on
That was scary, man. We're shooting a documentary. It was like, this has just got to be told of what that whole few days was just. Yeah, the few minutes before that, we thought God was going to lift that entire area up and throw it. I mean, it was bad. It was purple. I don't know. They were making up colors of how bad it was on the radar.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, man, we battened down the hatches. Showed up the next day, and hopefully there's only a few signs. We were spared. It was nice.
Yeah, and it brought up something I'd really never thought of before, was that three-dimensional cooking, because you were able, in a relatively small space, to just cook so much more food than, as you said, we're all ingrained to think of with a gridiron top and putting the lid down and hanging around and talking about, you know, what's going on underneath there. You can actually see it. To me, when you take a step back, it just makes so much more sense to cook that way.
It is a new technique, a new tool, and it does take people a good 4 or 5 times to finally get their fire right, getting the skewering right. Once you can get a campfire flame and you can get whatever meat you're cooking to stick on the skewer, because there's every single cut has its own little way, a nuance of how to get it on there and have it stay and not have a flopping problem. So I tell people it is like a grilling instrument. It is something that once you learn how to play it, because it's not going to be that, it does take a little bit, not too much, not as difficult as learning how to play the guitar. But once you get it, because the reason the journey takes a while is because when you think about it, like I have the same conversation with some of the most powerful people, and it's a challenge to see how many flavors they can pull off for however many people in how short a period of time. So when you can do 14 different flavors, beef, chicken, lamb, pork, fruits, vegetables, and feed a 20-person, 30-person tailgate in a period of 1 to 2 hours. That's powerful. And that takes an element of skill there. You know, is it the Indian or the arrow? The arrow is only as good as the Indian, right? So it takes practice to get able to do 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 different premium cuts or vegetables or fruit. But to do the regular old cooking a steak, it seems to come on natural or a little bit easier, and it just the fun factor of it, it's hard not to just sit there and be mesmerized by me cooking over live fire and having that fire kiss pop up and the fear, you know, the flare up fear. All these other companies will, oh, this prevents flare ups. It's like in Rhodesia, you want flare ups, you want a fire kiss. Because the thing is, if it's sitting stationary, a flare up is bad because gravity is going to, you know, fuel that fire because of the grease. But if it's spinning, you're utilizing gravity as opposed to fighting against it. And you're wanting that fire kiss here, occasional fire kiss here. That's what adds that little bit of, you know, caramelized kick. Just to piggyback what you're saying, it is very, 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 very easy. But to really, really get the use out of it, to really know how to play it, it does take some practice.
Yeah. I'm here with Blake Carson. He is the inventor, founder of Carson Rhodesia. And Blake, let me tell you this. I saw recently that you guys are right in the midst of your Kickstarter campaign, and I jumped right on board. So I'm a supporter. And
thank you, man.
But tell the Tailgate Nation exactly what your Kickstarter campaign entails, and we're going to put some photos up because I want people to be able to understand what it is that you have constructed that is, to me, it's amazing because now you have taken your idea, your concept, and have made it applicable to anything that people may already have in their backyard.
Well, what you originally saw was the suitcase, and it was, you know, Forbes said it was the coolest barbecue grill ever, really. It was an incredible article it did. And what we've kind of ran into or found with it is that, you know, you did have to convince somebody who has 5, 6, 7 grills to buy a completely new grill. And it wasn't, you know, it's a premium product. It's pumping out 70 pounds of meat. It's, you know, it's about a $700 grill. So we kind of found, well, how do you make that cultural connection faster? Why not build a frame that sits on what people know? And so they'll be more open. The price point will be a lot more, you know, stomachable, if that's even a word. And so that's kind of where it became. So let's sit this on the top selling gas grill, there is, the Genesis, the Lover Genesis. And then so we fit it to those dimensions, the 13 by 15. And then we said, well, let's make a telescope where it can fit on a bunch of others. Let's see what this can fit. And it just happened to fit a lot of things, just out of, you know, icing on the cake, I guess. I don't know. It just was phenomenal. So basically it's a cage that sits on a Kamado, a Green Egg, a Primo, a Weber Kettle, a Weber Genesis. If your grill can fit the dimensions of 13 by 15, that's 15 tall, 13 wide, 18 long, or extends to 24 inches long if you want to build a custom pit. And you can turn your fire pit, your gas grill, your Kamado into a Brazilian-style steakhouse.
That, to me, is a game changer. I mean, because that's so, you know, I know so many. I was talking to Chef Ted Reeder the other day, and he was saying, I have 60-some-odd grills in my backyard that I use to try new recipes and to work on different ideas. And he said, unequivocally, the best piece of equipment that I have, bar none, is the Carson Rhodesia because it is so versatile.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my praise. I love that guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, how can people that are listening, how can the Tailgate Nation get involved in your Kickstarter campaign and or purchase their very own Carson Rhodesia?
Absolutely. You can get them right now. We ran an initial Kickstarter campaign that allowed us to raise enough money to have stock now to this day, but we weren't able to raise enough to keep the company going, so we had to do another Kickstarter campaign, which we're currently in. So basically, you can get it now off the shelf, order it off our website, carsonrhodesia.com. It's $4.98. We have very limited stock left. I think we maybe have 60 left. Or you can go to our Kickstarter campaign and back us for $2.98. If you're okay with waiting until March to get it. That's kind of the give and take. Is if we'll give it, we can sell it to you at a dirt cheap price if you're willing to wait 6 months. And that's kind of how we fund our inventory for next year. We're able to have a loyal backing follower, people that believe it. I think we have about 111 backers now that are basically allowing us to keep the Rhodesia revolution rolling. So if you want it now, you got to have it now. You're tailgating, you know, in mid-season, and you got you want to impress the people right now, then go to our website and grab it. If you're wanting to get a huge deal on it, then definitely back us on Kickstarter. We really appreciate the help and the love, and welcome to the Rodizio Nation.
And, you know, I like some of the branding you have there, too. You've got your own Carson Rodizio football jerseys, not American football, but soccer jerseys that look really cool.
We can make American. We're not limited to that.
and you know, you've got some cool there are different aspects. So whether you're a beginner or if you want to go full tilt, there are a lot of different options and number of skewers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it really makes it a very versatile product. And how can people follow you guys on any type of social media you have so that they can keep track of the growth of this company? I have no doubt in my mind. And first of all, Tailgate Nation, buy that 60 that he's got in inventory. Get those to your next tailgate party so that we can get this next round of Kickstarter finished up and ready for the spring.
Absolutely.
And but how can they follow you to really keep track of what I think is going to be? I think you call it the World Rodizio Revolution. I don't have any doubt that that's what it's going to be.
That's awesome, man. I really appreciate that. I mean, I've been working on this for a good 20 years, so it's anytime you hear that, it never gets old. So social media, Carson Rodizio, Facebook, Twitter, that's the handle, Instagram. If you really want to see and be a part of the community growing, we have a group called the Carson Rodizio Players Group. We have probably about 300-350 people that have units right now. So they're kicking around rescue ideas and sharing their learning journey with any sort of, you know, hacks that they've been able to come up with. Because I did everything I could to test it for as long as I could, and it's just fun to see the community embrace it and really get around it. So if you really want to see the action with it and people, you know, nightly cooking on it, then Carson Rodizio Players is the group that you can join and just be a part of it with us.
Well, Blake Carson, I want to thank you so much for coming in to Tailgate Radio this week. And before we go, you have any last words for the Tailgate Nation out there?
World Rodizio Revolution is coming.
There you have it, folks. Blake Carson, thank you so much for coming into Tailgate Radio, and we wish you all the best. Folks, get out there and support him, support the Kickstarter campaign, or go to the website and go ahead and purchase what inventory he has left right now so you can have it for your next tailgate party. When we come back, we'll have more Tailgate Radio right after this. Chef Melly and M.A.D. marinating meat. 300 pounds the day before, gonna be a feast. It's Saturday, Bubba got the park, starts at 12. All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank you for listening in and downloading this week's show. I want to remind you, you can hear our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, and at our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter account at Tailgate Radio. And as we always say here, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.